Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and the one who has given us the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was in 586 BC that Jerusalem was totally ruined by Nebuchadnezzar and his great Babylonian army. Solomon's temple, which had been that pride and glory of Israel for almost 400 years, was totally reduced to ashes, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem were either killed or taken off to Babylon into captivity. And that included the last king, Mattaniah, who had his eyes poked out and was led off in chains to Babylon, along with many of the elite in the high echelon. And although they had been warned repeatedly by God through the prophets, including Ezekiel, they had turned a deaf ear. And now they wept. They were spiritually dead. And they were groaning, saying, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." They were in complete despair in Babylonian captivity. And they thought that God would never take them back to their homeland. And since they had no hope, they had completely lost their faith in God in many accounts. One significant event divided that prophetic work of Ezekiel into two very distinct parts. It was that capture and destruction of Jerusalem. Up to that point, that Ezekiel had forcibly been proclaiming the judgment of sin, and he called on his fellow countrymen to repentance. However, once Jerusalem had fallen, the temple was destroyed, and they were hauled off to Babylon, Ezekiel's mission changed into one of consolation and hope. The spiritual dangers after the fall of Jerusalem was not stubborn, proud rebellion, but now the danger was of falling into utter hopelessness and despair. And under those circumstances, Ezekiel was directed to proclaim the hope of God and that forgiving grace of his promise of salvation. Once God's people set their rebellious ways, it was there were no signs of spiritual life. And therefore, God unleashed his judgment upon them. He allowed those Babylonians, a heathen nation, to come and to destroy Jerusalem, yes, even the very temple. Ezekiel's vision of a once great army was reduced to dry bones that was, well, not very far from what had actually happened to Judah. They had been soundly defeated, taken into captivity, and that is why they were crying out, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." And although they could ignore God for when everything was going well, they couldn't ignore him when the nation was in ruin and their lives were threatened and they were hauled off as prisoners into a foreign land. They needed to see what they had truly become. They were as bones spiritually. And that was the message of the dry bones that Ezekiel saw. They told the story of God's people at that time. They had been great in number. They were strong at one time. They were useful to God, and they served him faithfully. But in time, they let sin steal their spiritual life, and they became nothing more than a pile of dry bones. Dry bones. And they needed to hear the word of God and to declare that truth to them. So does the message of the bones addressed to the Israelites apply to us? Are we like them or are we not? It's been said those that ignore history are condemned to repeat it. I don't think any of us would argue with that. The fact that by nature we are dead in sin and therefore are dry bones before we come to faith. Ephesians tells us, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And Apostle Paul declares, the mind of the sinful man is death. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the Spirit, sinful nature, cannot please God. And although we were born with a body that was alive, spiritually we were dead, just as those bones that Ezekiel saw in his vision. But God's grace, and by God's grace, we were made alive. Perhaps it was in infancy at the baptismal font, or maybe it was through a friend or a neighbor, a relative, a Sunday school teacher or a pastor that brought that life-giving word of God that made you alive spiritually. But we always have to ask, how are we doing now? Do we still hunger and thirst for that word of God? Or do we sometimes get filled with the human ideas and philosophies of the world around us? Do we receive our recommended daily allowance of God's law and gospel? Are we living our lives out of priority and our priorities out of whack with what God desires? Think of some of the poison of the media, in the programs, the movies, the radio.
Humanism tells us that we should listen to ourselves. My battery just
Can you hear me now? Where was I? Humanism tells us that we should listen to ourselves, that you're the ultimate end of everything. Materialism tells us that we should acquire more money, more things. Existentialism tells us that there is no right and wrong. You can create your own truth. You can determine what that truth is. And scientism, it tells you that only what can be proven and what you can observe is what is real. And there's a whole lot of other isms out there. And if we're listening to those philosophies, they want to steal that spiritual life and send us to that bone pile. And that's what the Word of God is always warning us about, and as he was sending it through Ezekiel in his prophecy. And what are the result? Our worship of God can become half-hearted at best. Our daily walk with God might turn into a struggle. A service with God to be motivated only by guilt. We must be prodded and pushed to give back as God has abundantly blessed us. You know, sin is what makes us a pile of dry bones. And that's the fact why we need to hear the word of the Lord. Can these bones live? That was the question that Ezekiel posed to Ezekiel from the Lord. And the only way that he could answer it was, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. If these dry bones were going to come back to life, God would have to make it happen. And as we look at each other this morning, it's there that how would we answer that question? Can these dry bones live? If we're going to come back to life, it will only be by God's power. You probably remember that story of Lazarus. John 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany in the village of Mary and Martha. And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters went, sent the word of the Lord to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard that Jesus was sick, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there two more days. Jesus purposely stayed away from Bethany for two more days. Why? To give time for Lazarus' body to start decaying. He wanted to make an enter into this situation that was totally hopeless, completely impossible from man's point of view. God loves those kind of situations. And so God also showed Ezekiel the valley of dry bones. It was seemingly hopeless, but not with the Lord of hosts. This is the way God has worked throughout history. When Lazarus' body lay in the grave, it was there for 4 days, it was beginning to decompose. It couldn't hear, it couldn't move, it was dead. But what did Jesus do? He called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, hands and feet wrapped with linen cloths. And Lazarus, resurrected, he had nothing to do with his rising. He was dead. But the powerful word, Jesus was able to put life into Lazarus' decaying bones, and breath came back into his lungs. And just as in creation, God created life where there was none. So when Ezekiel conveyed that vision to the Israelites who were living in under captivity, it was to give them hope. God promised, "I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it," declares the Lord. Get the emphasis? God is doing it. And God had not given up on them, and he was going to take them back to the promised land at that appointed time. And it just happens that God did exactly that. There was the remnant that was brought back to the promised land 70 years later, just as had been predicted under the guidance of Ezra and Nehemiah. And through that remnant, the Savior was eventually born. The Israelites that went back were being resurrected to spiritual life. And you see, that's what Pentecost is all about. The Word of God came there on that Pentecost, that first Pentecost. And what happened? 3,000 believed as they heard a law of judgment, but a word of forgiveness and grace. You see, God made his point through that vision that he gave Ezekiel. Dry bones can live because God is the giver of life, and he gives life to dry bones physically and spiritually. But that fact is what it's important there is God is the one who gives life. It was through his word It was by the power of the Holy Spirit using that word as he sent it to them. And this is what God was saying all along to the people of Israel through the prophets. A spiritual revival of Israel would only happen when the people would open their ears to what God would say. And in his word, he would convict them of their sins and convince them that there was a Savior who was coming and who would remove their sins. And just before this vision of the dry bones, the Lord had said to the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, "I will give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." You see, it would take a miracle from God that the spiritually dead Israelites would come back to life and that God would make this miracle happen. God did, and God still does that action through his word. And again, the Lord was calling out to his people again and again, "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." But God's people sometimes choose to remain dry bones. There was a remnant, a portion that listened to the Lord. They had lost their vision and their view, but God restored it. And even when Jesus came, remember, there were those people that were offered new life, the powerful word of God, but it was rejected. Remember, Jesus said to those Pharisees, "You diligently search the scriptures and think that you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Although dry bones can't give themselves life, only God can do that. They can choose to remain in that condition of spiritual deadness. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God is calling to us once again as he called out to those Old Testament people. Let's not reject the word and remain in spiritual deadness. May we, with King David, say in the words of Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." God will and does do that through the working of his word and the Holy Spirit. And that's what Pentecost is all about, as those disciples shared the word of God on that first Pentecost, and as God does it yet today. We need something to bring us back to life. It's God's word is the answer. And we remain dry bones if we don't hear that word of the Lord. It creates what it commands. It does what it says. It produces what it proclaims. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts and our lives, and that's the miracle right there. And maybe some Sundays you slide into the pew and it's there, you feel a little bit like dry bones. But it is that word that comes to us in the liturgy, in the hymns, in the scripture readings, and in the message. It's there. It gives us life. Our pulse maybe sometimes fades a little bit in our service, but God can bring it back to life as he gives us that spiritual food, whether it be in the form of a short devotion or reading a chapter of scripture. It puts a spring back into our step and gives us true life. First Peter, he reminds us in that letter that we need that nourishment of the word. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Only the Lord's Word and the Holy Spirit can give life to these dry bones. But we have that assurance, as Ezekiel recorded in there. This is the sovereign, what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. He brings us back to life spiritually and puts the Holy Spirit within us. So listen to the Word, read the Word, speak the Word, sing the Word, and watch the dead come back to life. That's what the miraculous sight is about Pentecost. And what a wonderful, powerful tool and weapon it is that we have in the Word, the gift of the Holy Spirit working with that Word. For as that gospel reminds us, the work of the Holy Spirit is to give life and to direct us to Jesus, our Savior, and to glorify Him. In His name, amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.